Okay, welcome back. There have been a lot of things going on in the Vatican in the last 2 weeks since Father Kramer was here. The synod on synodality that the fake, fraud, illegal anti-pope Bergoglio was presiding over with his henchmen that he's brought in. I don't know what happened in that, we'll call it a conference just for fun. The synod, and they were certainly able to do grievous damage to the traditional church dogma and doctrine. And I'm looking forward to finding out what Father Kramer may know, because remember, before this synod on synodality began, the pontiff ordered everyone to keep your mouths shut. No talking. Don't tell anybody about this. So, Father Kramer, welcome back. It's been a pretty raucous 2 weeks, I guess, in Catholicism. What do you know? And what do we have to look at this point? Oh, Father Kramer, you got to get wait, your volume is way low. See if you maybe you need to get close to your phone or something.
I don't know why this is happening, but I do.
Oh, they probably don't want you to talk. They're doing it on purpose.
Oh,
Go ahead. Go ahead.
We're seeing the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, not just the secret of Fatima, but we're seeing the fulfillment of biblical prophecy in what's happening
Okay.
in the church.
Hold, Father Kramer, hold on. Hold on. This is not going to work. The volume is too low and you're now breaking up. So this is maybe a bad line. Todd, would you please call him back if you think that's the. Oh, you have? Can you raise him up volume-wise more? 150%. Okay. All right. Okay, well, we're going to give this a go, and I'm not surprised. So, Father Kramer, just speak as loudly as you can. Don't yell, but just keep that phone right close to you, and let's see how we do. Go ahead.
Okay. We are looking at the fulfillment of biblical prophecy in our own days now. Happening in the church and what's happening in the East. These things are all foretold in Scripture.
Okay, so all the things happening now were foretold, they're foretold in Scripture. That's what you just said. Okay, got it.
When Pope Benedict XVI was still a cardinal, he spoke about the secret of Fatima, that what is there is it relates to what is foretold in Scripture. There is a correspondence between what is foretold in the secret of Fatima and what is in Scripture. So what we are seeing is the fulfillment of scriptural prophecy. What's happening in the church?
Okay.
The most interesting prophecy that I can point to right now is that of Saint Hildegard of Bingen. I think it was no accident that Pope Benedict XVI made her a doctor of the church on the basis of her writings.
Okay.
But she had some stunning prophecies about the time of the Antichrist.
When did
And
she make these prophecies, Father Kramer? Approximately when?
she lived in the 1100s.
Okay. Very good.
And the corruption of Catholic doctrine, the perverted theology of the Antichrist, which will be deceptive, is eerily what she foretold is eerily being fulfilled in the Vatican establishment today, Bergoglio's Vatican. She foretold the time of the Antichrist, when basically sin would be abolished. There would no The idea of sin without penalty, that there could be a law of God but no penalty for violating the law, is an absurdity on its face.
It is. Oh, yeah.
But Bergoglio is promoting the idea that we can offend against the law of God all we like, but God is so merciful, he'll forgive us whether we ask for forgiveness or not. And that there's just really no penalty for us. There's no there's going to be no penalty. But she describes this.
Father Kramer, that mirrors many young people's view of life and how to live it. Talking about people under 30. They don't think there should be accountability. And that goes hand in hand with the simple fact that there is no accountability in most modern cultures now. People just get away with it. As socialism continues to move in and underpin most everything, the accountability factor goes out the window. They're releasing people now after committing murder, just on bail, with no problem, all kinds of things like that. So I hear you. So this is unique. Now, this is 900 years ago that these prophecies were laid out, and they're coming to pass right now. Very interesting. Go ahead, please. You're doing better. You sound good now.
This is very interesting because she is describing the perverse teaching of the Antichrist. But what we see today is those perverse teachings of the Antichrist in an incipient form, germinating in the synodal church of Jorge Bergoglio, so that we know the prophecies about the Antichrist, about his perverse doctrine, seem to be already being fulfilled in the perverse theology and the corrupt teachings of Jorge Bergoglio. So we already see some degree of equivalence, as if Bergoglio is in some manner a forerunner of the Antichrist himself. And that fact was foretold by Jeanne Le Royer. She was a cloistered nun who, in the late 1700s. And she foretold our present times much more in detail than St. Hildegard. And she points to a man that could only be Bergoglio as a forerunner of the Antichrist. Now, the interesting thing about the Antichrist is the title that he is given by the Apostle Paul. St. Paul says that he will be the man of lawlessness, ko anthropos tes anomias in Greek, which is literally the man of lawlessness, the man who abolishes sin, says we can sin all we like, we need not fear, because God is merciful, there's no punishment. If there's no punishment, if there's no punishment, there's no law.
No, it's gone. Gone. That just throws it out, all of it. That's very, very depraved rationalization, if I've ever heard it before, what these people are planning. No sin, no problems, God will forgive all. Wow.
So Bergoglio, all along, in the last 10 years, he is receiving as honored guests the most perverted people.
Yes,
and
yes.
He's suggesting and even saying that there are things that are wrong there, but we have to respect these people the way they are, and we have to be receptive. We have to be inclusive.
Yeah, uh-huh. Right.
All are welcome in the... all are welcomed into the synodal church. And you know what? That's totally contrary to the doctrine of both the Old and the New Testament. The only place where all are welcome is in hell. That's the devil's message.
Well said. Yes.
The devil says, all are welcome here in hell. Come to our house. But the church is reserved for those who are of the faith, those who have, those who are devoted to God and who are bound to God through observance of the covenantal law. Jesus Christ is the founder of the church on the basis of the new and everlasting covenant. And just like the Old Testament through was given through Moses, the covenantal law of Moses. So its fulfillment, as it was a signpost pointing toward its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Therefore, there was, as Jeremiah the prophet foretold, there would be a new covenant, and that was fulfilled by Jesus Christ, the covenant through his own blood, through the shedding of his blood. As the apostle said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So this is the whole concept, that we are, as Christians, we are bound to God through the covenant of Christ. The covenant, of course, is a law, just like the law of Moses. And the moral law is enshrined in the law of Moses, and it's carried over into the New Testament, the new and everlasting covenant of Jesus Christ. The law of God remains. And that's why Christ himself said he has not come to abolish the law. So the one who abolished the law is the man of lawlessness. That's the Antichrist. And the one who is preparing the way for the total abolition of the law is Jorge Bergoglio. Because he is removing the concept of sin, separating it from his perverted form of pseudo-Christianity.
Has this come out after the synod more clearly? Is this inside information about his latest efforts? What did we learn about the actual synod that you can present to us now? What you just said is bad enough. That's awful. Anything else?
Very interesting. I don't have the text in front of me, so I can't mention the names now because I don't have it in front of before my eyes. But he was talking with his principal partners in crime in this synod. And he basically said, as far as where this is leading, leave it to me. I will draw the conclusions. Because he's using ambiguity, a weaponized ambiguity.
Got it.
In order so not to scare too many people into to make people alarmed and make them provoke them to opposition, because he doesn't want opposition, he wants consensus. And that's why you have all the secrecy, and they're forbidden to discuss what's being said at the synod.
Right.
Even though there are some who are speaking and revealing what's being said at the synod.
What do we know, Father Kramer, that was done in the synod? Or let me rephrase that. How much that was done in the synod is not known? Did they do a whole heck of a lot more than we could even guess at? Do we know if there was some momentous decision made about the church and its future? What do we know?
The momentous decision will be based on the ambiguities that are being presented at the present time. Bergoglio himself has said, basically what he said is that he's going to drop the bombshells, but the vehicle for dropping them is being prepared at the synod. That's what he has been saying. For example, it's I don't think anyone is deceived by his nonsensical pronouncement about the blessing of homosexual unions. He says, on a case-by-case basis, they will be decided. That means the priest of the parish, on a case-by-case basis, can decide whether he's going to bless perverted unions. The problem...
Case-by-case.
Case-by-case. Which means mm-hmm. that's a carte blanche.
That's right.
Blessing. Provided that is not done in such a way that confuses those unions with marriage. Now, that is sophistry to the highest degree, because the problem with the church blessing homosexual unions is not that people will confuse those unions with marriage, but that people will think that because the church is blessing these unions, blessing these couples, that it's morally all right for them to do that, and they, in the inclusive synodal church, they have full membership and rights to receive all the sacraments in spite of the fact that they're living openly in sin.
Wow.
That's the problem. That's the scandal. Not that people will confuse that with marriage. This is the vile deceitfulness of this antipope, this heresiarch,
yeah.
Jorge Bergoglio. Let me put it bluntly, this antichrist, Bergoglio, because his doctrine is in an embryonic form, it is already the doctrine of the antichrist, as foretold by Saint Hildegard. Mm-hmm. What Saint Hildegard foretells would be the doctrine of antichrist. What Saint Paul himself said in the second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, that the antichrist would be the man of lawlessness, the man who abolishes the moral law. And this is what Bergoglio is doing. He's abolishing the moral law by ambiguously and equivocally. He equivocates. He's saying yes and no. Like Rasputin, his doctrine was sin and repent, sin and repent. Well, there's no repentance there. If you can be habitually living in sin, but every time you commit the sin, you go through the motions of some kind of repentance and go to the church to receive an absolution for your sins, but you know you're going to go out and sin again, that's not repentance.
It isn't. That's a total hypocrisy.
So this Bergoglio, he is an antichrist. He is just the new Rasputin who was masquerading as a pope, as the head of the Catholic Church.
Got it. Now, I was told, Father Kramer, several years before Pope Benedict the 16th was put in the papacy, that there would be one more pope left, one more pope. Now, he was a legitimate pope. He was deposed. He was held captive, essentially, in the Vatican for the last 9 years of his life, as most of you know. And now we've got his successor, an antichrist, an anti-pope, a fake pope. So are we into that projection that Benedict would have been the last pope? Is that where we are now? Because Bergoglio doesn't really qualify in the eyes of many Christians and certainly many Catholics. He's a fraud. And then I have a follow-up question to that. Go ahead. Are we beyond the last pope now, in other words?
Malachy Martin explained it best, that in this succession of popes we've had since the Second Vatican Council, the last one would be this antichrist figure, this heretic antichrist. But that would not be, that's not the last pope ever, but that's the last pope in this series. There's going to be, the church will be entering a different age. And that's what is foretold at Fatima. Our Lady of Fatima said, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. And the prophecies of all of the saints who have spoken on these matters foretell that there will be a restoration. A restoration of the church, of all the church's traditions, of the Christian social order in the world, and that all the nations of the world will be fully coming into the church, accepting Christ, and it will be a time of universal peace. And that's what Our Lady of Fatima was talking about when she said that in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Pope will consecrate Russia to me, and a period of peace will be given to the world. Mm-hmm. There will be world peace when there will be universal conversion to Christ and universal obedience to the law of God. The law of God will be observed, universal observance of the law of God. That is the basis of world peace.
I guess the obvious question is, will world peace follow world war? Is that the plan?
It didn't have to be the plan, but it will work out that way, because God created us with free will. And this is why in the message of Fatima it's so clearly stated, if my warning is heeded, if it's obeyed, there will be peace. Our Lady of Fatima said that people must stop offending God with their sins. And if they do that, the world will have peace. But if they don't, all of these dreadful things will happen. And there will be the first world, there will be the second world. The first world war was almost over. She said there will be another, even worse war. And then in the third secret of Fatima, there is yet worse war coming. And that is foretold in many other prophetic revelations and apparitions, like Our Lady of Good Success in Quito, Ecuador. Mm-hmm. She foretold a tremendously destructive war. And that's what we're looking at very soon, because now we are clearly in the fulfillment of prophecy. We are seeing the run-up to World War III take place right now.
I don't know how else to look at it. I agree. I'm watching this around the clock like you are and many of our listeners are. Every movement on the big board is moving toward a conflagration. Every move. I see no moves of de-escalation, no moves of peace, no ceasefire, no nothing. They're going in on the ground to completely exterminate and force out all the Palestinians in the northern half of Gaza for openers. They've restored water only to the bottom half. They're going to take it in pieces. That's the way it appears, the Jewish state. They're going to take it in pieces and try to force all of them across the border into Egypt. Now, the Egyptian government has said, if you do that, we're going to put them on ships and drop them all off in European ports. You'll get them, these 2,000-plus Palestinian people. And I have a video up now that is really stunning. It's a series of rabbis speaking about, heartless, inhumane agendas, taking other people and destroying them and their culture, their homes. These rabbis have laid it out. I'm appalled. It's right at the top of the news headlines. Maybe I should play that right now. It's short. It's not very long. You want to hear this, Father Kramer? It's very interesting. These are actual rabbis talking. Was that an okay? Yes?
I can't hear.
All right. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, but I don't hear the...
All right, well, I'm not playing it yet. Hold on. Yes. Let me get this posted, and I'll play it. Okay, here we go. I have to move this over one spot. Got to juggle these things around. Okay. Now, this will give you an idea of how many Jews are approaching this officially, obviously constructed crisis. This is not a coincidence. This was all planned, and it's all being laid out. So here we go. Here's the latest video we have up at the top of headlines. Now, these are actual recordings of rabbis speaking about the value of Palestinian lives, especially children's lives. Now, listen.
The Jews are again being unmasked for who they really are. They're haters of humanity. Following is a taste of what they're saying, just in case you think we're being harsh on them. Watch this, and we'll soon be back with even more of their disturbing comments.
We must obliterate Hamas, you see. And what Israel has to do, which I'm hoping, of course, they will, is they are going to what's called raise Gaza. They're going to destroy it. What is important to understand, what the logic of the war is based on the divine plan. There is no permission from the Torah to have any mercy whatsoever during war. Not on children, not on women, not on anybody.
They're absolutely out of their minds. Who talks like this? They're like dormant locusts coming awake as they've done over the millennia when they've been expelled from countless kingdoms, city-states, and nations. It's understandable if they harbor such animus against their hosts. Do you think Jews have pity for women and children? Absolutely not. The following cruel gaggle of bloodthirsty Jews are not isolated crazies. The mask is off, and the crazier Jews are simply enunciating what they normally hide from us, non-Jews or Gentiles, as they call us. These people of ill will must be rooted out of public office. Look at the key posts they hold, yet they're less than 2% of the American population. How can this be? Their nepotism must not be countenanced, and their rapacious behaviors must be checked. The Congress and government must be purged and cleansed of these dual citizen freeloaders loyal to Zionism and Israel, or they're going to drag America into a war against the world. It's Israel's war. We're now awake to the Zionist Jews. They've overplayed their hand once again, as they've done over and over in history. Now listen to these heartless lot delighting at killing women and children. Please excuse me as I go somewhere to be sick.
But the point is right here that Hashem say, do not have mercy on the children. Kill all their children also. Why? There's no difference between them and their children. In 10 years from now, these children will attack you on the way. Hashem knows. God knows.
Yeah, we're not playing by your rules. We're playing by the rules of the Torah.
The verse in the whole Bible, it says, happy is the one that takes the infants of Babel and of Edom and smashes them on the rock. Just like they did to us. The ransom, this is what we say before benching. Right? That's the end of this. That the ultimate revenge, or revenge again, I'll go, innocent infants. Happy is the one that takes the infants and smashes them and kills them on the rock. And then we bless Hashem for the food that we ate.
You kill all men and all women, me'olel ve'ad yonek, even babies who breastfeed.
Okay, no equivocation there. That's how many of them feel. Those are rabbis speaking, not the average man on the street or woman on the street. That's how they feel. So this is not going to have a happy ending, obviously.
No, and I would preface my comment first. I'm going to quote a prophecy from a man who died in the year 1300.
Right.
His name was Abbot Hermann of Leinen. He said, toward the end of the world, Israel will commit a terrible crime for which it will suffer death.
Wow.
Now, you mentioned how cold and calculating the Zionists are in what they're doing and what they are subjecting not just the Palestinians but even the Jewish people are being subjected to because
they've sacrificed some of their own. Father Kramer, as you know, the IDF was stood down for 4.5 hours while the killing continued. This was clearly a planned operation, The Israelis knew. They know everything that goes on in Gaza. And this was a political, weaponized effort to take the pressure off Netanyahu and give the state of Israel full pretense and pretext to annihilate Gaza once and for all. Timing, timing.
Now, there was a report, and this cannot be considered anti-Semitic. It's coming from a newspaper called Haaretz, a big
right, that's Israeli... Big paper, big paper in Israel, big.
That's right. Haaretz.com, this is their report, quoting Benjamin Netanyahu. And these are his words. Anyone who wants to thwart the establishment of a Palestinian state has to support bolstering Hamas and transferring money to Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of our strategy. This certainly expresses the policy. And this is not, it's not without precedent. Haaretz has reported years ago that these Hamas militants were actually being funded and directed by the Shin Bet.
There's no question that Hamas and the CIA are enemies. But when you look at the history, you find that the CIA and Mossad actually created Hamas. I have the video up there. It goes back to, I think it's 20 years ago. It's Netanyahu talking about forming Hamas. So, yes. There's so much more going on here. Yeah.
Whenever we see a development leading toward peace between the Arabs and the Jews, one of these organizations commits some kind of atrocity and everything back to square one. That's by design. That's by design.
Absolutely.
It's ironic. It's ironic that they are speaking of this Hamas attack on Israel as Israel's 9/11, because the September 11th attack took place because of the Pentagon ordered a stand down of the defenses. There's no way the Pentagon could have been attacked unless the air defenses stood down. And this is exactly what happened in Israel. The technology used to defend the Israeli border is so sophisticated and so flawless that they even say not even a rodent can escape unseen. A rodent or a cockroach will be seen approaching that fence. There's no way they could have pulled this off by surprise.
No. Here's a quote from Benjamin Netanyahu in 1990, recorded at a bar in Jerusalem. He was giving an impromptu speech. He said, "America is a golden calf, and we will suck it dry, chop it up, and sell it off, piece by piece, until there is nothing left but the world's biggest welfare state that we will create and will control. That is what we do to countries that we hate. We destroy them very slowly." End quote. 1990, 27 years ago. No, 37 years ago.
This is the principle of lawlessness that is going to spread these terrible disorders throughout the world. So this war is expanding, it is escalating, and it will escalate further. They are going to target Iran. I said this years ago. It's going to be a major event, like an attack, an attack on Iran that is going to really explode into a third world war eventually. You're going to see an Islamic invasion of Europe.
Well, they've got 25,000 mostly Muslims in Europe, a lot of Africans as well, ready to rise up and take Europe down from within. And it's 34 years ago is 1990. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Well, they've got their advance, their fifth column troops are already there, but they will attack with invading armies. That was foretold by St. John Bosco. He said the evil will come from the south. And of course, Northern Africa is to the south of Italy where he lived.
Correct.
And Blessed Anna Maria Taigi, I think, and especially Blessed Elena Ayello, I think she died around 1961, she foretold the Islamic attack, the invasion of Italy. That will take place. So there are many of the saints of the church who have foretold this in past centuries, and up to the present time it is now being fulfilled before our eyes. This war is going to expand. It's going to escalate. It's going to involve Iran in a terrible way, and Iran is going to respond in a terrible way. That's what we can look forward to.
My other question, Father Kramer, is the Bergoglio right now, I know things are always planned, but is he giving off any overt indication of who his successor will be? I've forgotten his age now, but he's not going to be around forever. So will the next one be the ultimate, the final pope? Is that what we're looking at? Before the new church is installed, the new World Order church is installed.
It's difficult to say exactly what is going to come about because something worse than Bergoglio comes along. There might be enough of a reaction to install a good pope, who I don't think will last very long. But it was Pope Saint Pius X, who died shortly after the beginning of World War I. He said he saw his successor, the vision. He said, my successor by name. He said,
by name,
fleeing from the Vatican over the bodies of his brethren, and that he will go into hiding. He'll go into hiding and live a life of retirement until he's hunted down. He'll be discovered, and then he will die a cruel death. This was Pope Saint Pius X's prophecy. So there will be a pope who will be persecuted and suffer martyrdom, who will be killed, as is foretold by Pope Saint Pius X. This is not in any way surprising, and there will be a period of about 3 years that the church will be without a pope. That was foretold by Saint Ignatius of Santia.
How long of a time period again?
About 3 years.
3 years, okay.
Then there was a Blessed Anna Maria Taigi, who's renowned for her prophecies. She said the church would be without a pope for about 25 months or more.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about somewhere between 2 to 3 years the church will have no pope at all.
Interesting. Well, what we have now is a church that is being essentially very quiet. They're not making any noise about calling for peace, de-escalation, urging Israel to restrain itself from its obvious genocidal policies, which are going to get worse as soon as they launch their ground attack. This is going to be a very difficult and ugly time. Watching other Arab countries trying to figure out what to do to address this is also interesting. Turkey, with the world's third or fourth largest military, is one of the main players. Iran, of course, is extremely well armed. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they had a few nuclear weapons by now. It wouldn't surprise me if Russia had given them some, frankly, just to try to even the playing field. What we have are all the ingredients here for a truly horrific conflagration in the Middle East. And I would not be remotely surprised if this happens very soon. Very soon, rather than slowly in fits and starts. One Gulf of Tonkin sort of attack, an alleged attack, because Tonkin never happened, on an American military ship with casualties would put the United States at war immediately. The Congress is calling for more money. Biden today announced that he's asking for $106 billion more to feed to the Ukrainian war machine and the Israeli war machine, with a little bit spillover to Taiwan. It's clear where this is going.
Yeah, the United States has already been sucked into this thing with the two aircraft carriers in the Mediterranean off the coast of Israel.
That's right. Yeah. And another one in the Persian Gulf. Don't forget that.
Yes. And American special forces are on the ground.
Correct. Yes,
so
they are.
The United States is already involved in this war.
Correct. They just haven't started shooting yet. They will. I don't see any logical way that this can be de-escalated at this point. It's the Americans have done nothing under their Zionist government to show restraint. Nothing. Every single thing they do has been provocative in the extreme. And that goes for Ukraine and in the Gaza area of Israel. It's just, we're not taking the lead here except to foment a major cataclysm. That's what we're taking the lead to do. And the American people, Father Kramer, are doing virtually nothing. Nothing.
They are so pathetically brainwashed. They have not a clue or what is really happening.
That's true. That's exactly true. So I'm not optimistic. In the Persian Gulf now, I believe, is the USS Nimitz. Maybe it's not there now, but it was. We'll see. So we have all the ingredients there, all of them. There's nothing missing from this puzzle. All it needs is a match to ignite it. It's basically that simple.
And that's coming.
I would see no other. I don't. It's certainly the last thing in the world I want to see, but I don't see any. I've never seen anything like this in my life. It's a headlong pressure operation being pushed against Russia, being pushed against everybody, all the Arab nations basically now. The American public, I feel sorry for them. It's not their wish, but they're not in control of their country. And I think many people around the world realize that. We are being controlled by a power that is not inimical or relevant to the Constitution anymore, the Bill of Rights. We have these wonderful documents, and they are not held as sacred and hallowed by the people any longer, not the average younger person. They just ignore them. Anyway, please go ahead.
One thing that the United States and Israel have in common is that both of their governments have betrayed their own people terribly.
Absolutely. Because
what is the interest of the people in Israel is certainly not served by creating conflagration and war. This will lead to the annihilation of Israel. What's taking place? They're letting loose forces that they will not eventually have any control over.
Mm-hmm.
This is suicide of the nation. What Netanyahu and his gang are doing to their own country, and what they,
right.
and and what they are doing to their neighboring countries and to the Palestinians, the atrocities that they're committing are not in the interest of the peace and well-being, even of the Israeli people themselves. So they have been betrayed by their own leaders, just as the United States, the American people, have been betrayed by their leaders, by these pirates who have taken control of the White House and the government institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Because right. they are not serving the interests of the people, of the common good of the people. They're working for what George Bush called the New World Order. Order from chaos, and they're creating the chaos now to bring about a world government and a world religion, and that world religion will be the religion of Antichrist, the religion of lawlessness, the religion of oppression. And that was foretold by Pope St. Pius X. But Pius X in his apostolic letter Notre Recherche Apostolique explained that they would set up a one-world church, one-world religion, that would be neither Catholic, Protestant, nor Jewish. It would be oppressive for all the poor and the working classes. So it's going to be a government of oppression, even though they promise inclusivity, inclusion, that.
Right.
But equality for everyone. Everyone's going to have rights, but no, it's going to be the rights of the slave, which are no rights at all. Everyone's going to be equally oppressed, and there's going to be a great deal of slaughter and death to bring about this new world order, which will be a global gulag.
Would it turn the world? Right. Yes. By the way, go ahead.
Gaza is an open air prison. Well, they're going to make the whole world like Gaza.
That's their hope. I agree. The Nimitz sailed out of the Persian Gulf. There's currently no American carrier in the Gulf. I'm not sure if they'd want to put one in the Gulf. It's too close to Iran. So we'll see. But Father Kramer is quite right. The Ford and the Eisenhower and their task forces are in the Eastern Mediterranean, not far off the coast of Israel, and we will see what happens. We'll see. The match is lit. We'll see when the fuse is actually lit, and then it'll just be a matter of days or a couple of weeks. This is going to be a real wild ride, as they say. I think we're going to lose a lot more people.
And, you know, even though the Iranians like to say death to Israel, but whose policy is really the policy of death to Israel? It's the policy of Benjamin Netanyahu.
Correct. Yes. It's all being orchestrated, friends. Don't forget that. Do you expect Father Kramer to see anything of substance released officially by the Vatican about the synod and what changes may have been made behind closed doors?
I think we can expect a document at the end of this month. But I don't think that won't be the end of it. There's more to come.
I'm sure.
This is still leading to that there's more to come. But there may be some bombshells coming out very soon.
Very good. All right. Well, we'll be here. We'll be in touch, and thank you very much for everything, as always. It's appreciated.
Hopefully we can be speaking again soon.
We will. Okay. 2 weeks. All right. Father Kramer and Father Paul Leonard Kramer is a very, very wise man, the last living authority on the third secret of Fatima. So we're headed toward hot times. It's a weekend, and I hope all of you will take time this weekend to maybe go through the house and see what you've got by way of food and water preparations. If you haven't done that, you need to do an inventory, and whatever you can do to give yourself a little advantage, please do it. And thank you for being here, and take good care, and we'll talk soon.